Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom, shalom again, and welcome to another broadcast. Of course, this is a live broadcast that we have going during the COVID virus, COVID-19, and I'm excited about this particular series and actually this message, this drasha, if you will, for the simple fact that this particular drasha is going to really get down to the nano areas of the nano, the nanoseconds, the very small, minute areas in our lives, and it's going to begin to open up an understanding so that we can really abide with Him. It's going to give us an absolute understanding of how to examine whether or not we are abiding with Him. But before we get started, I would like for Evangelist Tanita, who's also on the call, to go ahead and get us started off with the Before Torah blessing. And this blessing is being done by one of our core leaders, Pastor Doug Smith.
Amen.
Before Torah study blessing. Baruch atah Yehuah Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kishanu b'mitzvotav, v'tzvianu la'asot b'devrei Torah. Blessed are you, Yehuah, our Yah, King of the universe, who sanctified us with his commandments, and commanded us to engross ourselves in the words of the Torah. Eres bendecido, Yehuah nuestro Dios, Rey del universo, quien nos santificó con sus mandamientos, y nos ordenó absorbernos en las palabras de la Torah.
Amen. Hallelujah. We also, and I'm sure some of you have recognized, that there was three different languages, of course Hebrew, then of course English, and also Spanish. We have a Spanish following, so we are beginning to incorporate the Hispanic dialect in our teachings as well as in the Hebraic blessings. Now, before we get started, I want to make sure that you understand something, that the Father just had to, he had to disrupt me. You know, in the secular world, they have industries that are considered disruptors. And the reason why they call them disruptors is because they totally change the whole dynamic structure of life, like the internet. Internet, when it came into being, it changed everything that we understood about life itself and about just regular business, okay? There's a disruptor in the prayer that Pastor Doug just prayed, Baruch Atah, just two words. Now, of course, he prayed more of the actual or blessings, but I want to make sure you understand those two words, and especially the second word. Because when you, in the Hebrew, the word atah, when we try to translate it in the English, we just miss some of the rich nuggets that are there that the Father is trying to impart to us. Because we normally would translate it you, you know, and in the English, you is you. But in the Hebrew, that particular word also carries another aspect of the meaning. And that meaning is now with an explanation point. In other words, what that prayer should sound like in the English, just those two words, because the word Baruch is happy, blessed, joyful. It has a lot more meanings than just the fortunate, a lot more meanings than just blessed. But when you add the atah to it, you are supposed to be saying it with exuberance, blessed, happy, with an exclamation point on it, with feeling and emotion. Takes on a whole new concept, doesn't it?
Amen.
So even in the Jewish culture, when they go through the blessings, they're still not expedientating blessing. It's more of a monotoned level. You Google it or check your internet and you listen to the prayers and they're very monotoned. But God is saying, you're supposed to be excited. Your team is winning. You are on the victorious team that always conquers the enemy. When we get that in our mindset and begin to understand that, you can't help but to show some excitement. Those two words, Baruch Atah, should never be spoken with a monotone voice. When you are blessing God, because you're giving that blessing to Him, so you're letting Him know how excited you are about Him. Those two words. Now, Evangelist Janita, I hope that we get into the message, but I just don't know, because I'm getting excited.
Amen.
I am excited about two Hebrew words, in a blessing.
Amen.
Because I'm supposed to be excited.
Yes.
When I was in the military, my wife and my children, when I would come home for lunch, my wife and children had this ritual they would do. And that was, as soon as they saw the vehicle pull up to the driveway, they would run out the door and they would try to see who would be the first person to run out and touch Daddy. And they would do it all the time. But every time they did it, they were extremely excited, not just to see me, but also to see who could touch Daddy. When we recite these Hebrew prayers, we're supposed to be excited to touch Daddy. Now, this is not on the script, Evangelist Tanita.
Nope.
This is not where we were supposed to go.
No.
This was not what we were supposed to be teaching.
No.
But the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, said, this is what I want to get out right now.
Amen.
Every time I pray, I should be wanting to touch Daddy.
Amen.
And I must have that exuberance, that excitement, that joy unspeakable and full of glory.
Yeah.
So that I can touch Daddy. Daddy gets excited when we get excited.
Yeah.
Daddy gets excited when we get blessed. Daddy gets excited when we walk in obedience. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Now I'm going to act like I'm going to stop. And I'm going to allow you to go into last week's overview, so that we could make an attempt to get back to what the schedule was supposed to be. But I pray that somebody out there listening,
with
the next time you get ready to get on your knees or just to touch the Father and have a communication, have a relationship, have a prayer, have a conversation with Abba, and a conversation with Yeshua. When you get ready to bless Him and bless them, be excited. Be excited. Because the Creator of the universe is who you are talking to. And there is nothing impossible for Him. Evangelist Janita, go ahead.
Yes, sir. Shalom, everyone. Our last week's message was titled, Learning to Live from the Place of Peace Within. Our scripture teaching was from Psalms 146, verses 1 through 3, with a concentration on verse 3. And what Rabbi was pointing out to us, as many of you all remember, was in the last part of that verse. It was about putting our trust in powerful people. And we don't want to put our trust in powerful people. Our trust needs to be put in Yah. So if you were, it says in this passage, you were getting ready to trust powerful people. Yah is saying don't trust powerful people, but trust him. With this pandemic that's going on, faith factor has been convoluted. It is your faith is manifested through obedience. Even when you hear a negative report, remember your Yah. He gave us examples of those that remembered their Yah. One was David. David was tested before his situation with Goliath. He was tested as a shepherd when he had to fight against a bear and a lion. One of the things that Rabbi pointed out to us was about the soul. The soul is made up of three parts, the mind, the will, and the emotion. The mind has to be cleared of negative thoughts so that you don't focus on fear. The will, you don't allow it to give up. And in your emotions, don't let them take over the situation. All three have to be in check in order to maintain the peace. And our relationship, understand, truly is being tested in Yah. He gave us two examples of people who had total peace. The first one was in Daniel chapter 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the second one was Daniel himself in Daniel chapter 6. All three, your mind, your will, and emotions, have to be in sync. The Hebrew word that he used was H982, and that's batak. I hope I'm pronouncing it right, Rabbi, which means to trust. Thank you, sir. Allow your peace to propel you into your promotion. When your mind, your will, and your emotions are intact, the Father causes evil people, situations, and the devil to promote you. One of the things that Rabbi stressed was that peace, we want the peace will promote you, and we want that peace that Yeshua had when he was in the ship. And so I'll hand it back over to you, Rabbi John.
All right. Awesome. That was an awesome overview. All right. So you found out what we talked about last week. So this week, one of the things that I want to make sure that we cover is the question, how do I and you know when our soul is abiding in his peace? We need to understand and know when our soul, that means our mind, will and emotions that were already discussed, are in alignment, they're in entrainment, okay? Like the science understanding of entrainment, that we all, every aspect of us, mind, will, and emotion, are in agreement with him. We need to know when that happens. Because if it doesn't happen, then his peace cannot be appropriated to us in its fullest measure. So that's what we're going to discuss. That's what we're going to get into. Now, normally, in the last weeks of teaching, I have focused primarily in the ancestral. And this time, I'm going to focus primarily in the New Testament. As a matter of fact, our reference scripture is going to be John chapter 15, verse 7. John chapter 15 and verse 7. And I'm going to have Evangelist Tanita read that in the New King James Version. That's John chapter 15, verse 7. That's our reference scripture for today pertaining to that question that we need to answer. And that is, how do I and you know when our soul, our mind, will, and emotions are abiding in his peace, in the Father's peace, and in Yeshua's peace? Because remember, Yeshua was our example of how that peace can be appropriated in times of need. with the disciples when they were going across in the boat with Yeshua, and he was sleeping in the very lower portion of the boat. And they needed him because their faith had failed them. And they cried out to him and woke him. And he proclaimed the peace that was already residing in him. Well, that self-same peace has been appropriated to us, but how do we tap into that peace so that we can walk in the same manner and the same glory and the same power in which he did? That's what we're going to be breaking down today. So, Evangelist Smith, if you would go ahead and read John chapter 15, verse 7 in the New King James Version. And I think you may also have the Amplified. We'll look at the Amplified. And for those of you out there that also kind of like the New Living Translation, we're going to be reading that as well. So we'll start off with the New King James, and then the Amplified, and then the New Living Translation. So, Evangelist Sunita, if you could go ahead and do that for us, please.
Yes, sir. The first one is John 15, verse 7, New King James Version. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Let me pull up the Amplified, and then I already have this. The Amplified reads, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Okay, all right. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, that is, if we are vitally united and my message lives in your heart, ask what you wish and it will be done for you. The NLT reads, Is that okay?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted.
Now, I don't know about you, but I know when I was a child and my father took me to the store, and I had been a very good young man at that time. And he said that if I acted properly or that he would treat me, that he would bless me, that he would, take me out and allow me to buy something at the store. The moment I got to the store and I began to see all these things, I got extremely excited. And I got extremely excited because I realized that I could have whatever I wanted. Now, understand this. With the understanding of abiding, that abiding means that you're never going to want something that's going to displease Papa. It's not going to displease your Father, your Heavenly Father. When his words abide in me, it causes me to fixate my mind not on everything in the store, but on everything that pleases him, which also in turn pleases me. I'm going to make sure that that's clear. Because when you read this, it's almost like, oh, wow, this is a genie with the Aladdin's lamp with the genie in it that I can just rub and get whatever I want, get as many wishes as I want and receive whatever I want. No. That's not what is being stated here. Because the key to this is not the B part about asking whatever you want, but it's the A part. If his words abide in me, and my words abide in him. So a part of my words is what I'm asking of him. I'm going to say that again. A part of my words of him and making sure that what I'm asking is within the construct of what he is ready to give to me. Is that making sense, Evangelist Tanita?
Yes. Yes, it does. Very clear.
Okay. Okay. So the boundaries of what I'm asking is within the construct of his words. Anything outside of that is not condoned.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, let's jump into this word here, and I'm going to go back to the New Living Translation that you just read, Evangelist Anita.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
And I'm looking at the words, and I'm just going to read it, and it says, but if you remain in me and my words remain in you, then you may ask for anything that you want, and it will be granted. Evangelist Anita, we've got to answer a very important question here, and that is, who is the you? Now, I'm dating myself, Evangelist Anita. I'm going to date myself a little bit here, okay? So don't continue to laugh at me. You already started laughing, but don't continue to laugh. Okay? Hold it back.
Okay.
All right. Hold it back. All right? But there was a show many, many eons ago called What's My Line? And in that show, all right, you had, you know, contestants that were acting like an individual. And one of those contestants, that was acting like a certain individual was the individual, okay, that they were portraying. Mm-hmm. But the other two were not. Okay, they were acting like they were basically falsifying information and acting like that they were that person so that they could trick whoever it was that was supposed to guess. Now, if you can picture those three seats, and those three seats are spirit, soul, and body. Because that's what we're made of, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want everybody to go to 1 Thessalonians. I told you we were going to stay in the New Testament for the most part. So I'm going to kind of be, you know, I'm going to be a person of my word here and try to stay as much as possible in the New Testament pertaining to this particular drasha or sermon. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Now, we're going to look at that in the King James, okay? And what I've got here is, now may the God of peace, and of course, this is Paul speaking, okay? He's speaking to the congregation in Thessalonica, all right? And encouraging them in one of his epistles, one of his many epistles. It says, now, may the God of the Yah of peace himself sanctify you. There's that you again. Completely. And may your whole, and then he begins to break down that you, your whole spirit, your whole soul, and your whole body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua.
Amen.
So he breaks down the you right there. Spirit, soul, and body. Okay? Now, Evangelist Anita, the word soul there is psyche in the Greek. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But what is the term for soul in the Hebrew? Evangelist, go ahead.
Nefesh.
Okay, and how would you spell that? For those that are wanting to get that.
N-E-P-H-E-S-H.
That is correct. Okay. Now, Yeshua and Paul were both Hebrew. Now, Paul, of course, transmitted a lot of his letters in different languages, and especially in the Koine Greek or the Common Greek. And in this particular situation, this is the common Greek language in which he is actually articulating the words of God. as it is impressed upon him. So he's saying, let your whole spirit, soul, and body be remain blameless. But one of the things pertaining to that you that we were talking about, that we need to make sure that we understand and that we know, is which one of those is the most important component, if you will, of our person, of what is our makeup, of who we actually are. Which one of those is the most important? The reason why this is important to us is because we need to make sure that whatever is important to God becomes important to us so that we can fulfill his call upon us and in us. Now, Yeshua makes it pretty clear, and he answers this question for us. And for those that are taking notes, we're going to go to another New Testament scripture, and that's found in Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Now, there's other translations of in the Gospels, of course. But I'm just taking one of those examples, and that is Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26. Now, if Evangelist Janita, when you get there, if you can read that in the New King James and also in the Amplified, I'd like to hear that one in the Amplified as well. So just let me know when you get the one in the Amplified, and then I'll pass it to you. But while she's getting that, I want to make sure that everybody understands that the foremost authority on earth that would know and understand the importance of what God says is important would be Yeshua, would be Jesus. So we know that Jesus said that he chose not to say his own words pertaining to a thing, but he chose to submit his will and his words and his action to the Heavenly Father, to our Heavenly Father. So that means all of the actions and all of the words that were spoken by him were ordained by the Father himself. So with that concept in mind, as we begin to go to Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26, we need to understand that this is the authority pertaining to which one of those components that are sitting in that what's my line chair is the authentic, most important part of me and you that we need to be focusing on. Okay?
Amen.
Now, remember, we need this back information, this backstory information for us to answer the question. Okay? That's extremely important. We don't want to focus on the wrong part of us and then present ourselves before the Father and say, hey, you know, I should be accepted. I should be okay because my pastor, my rabbi, my clergy taught me this. I went to Bible college or wherever, and they taught me this. They taught me that the most important part of me is this, and that's what I focused on. The Father has made it clear which is the most important part of you and me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So as Evangelist Tanita begins to read this, if you have to recalibrate the doctrine, this would be a good time to start.
Mm-hmm.
Evangelist Tanita, go ahead.
Yes, sir. Matthew 16, verse 26, New King James Version first. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? The Amplified Version reads,
mm-hmm.
For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world, wealth, fame, success, but forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?
Amen. So Yeshua and the Father pick the individual that is sitting in the seat in the game show that we were talking about, soul. Now, I am very much aware, unfortunately, I am very much aware that some of you out there probably have heard of doctrines that have the other individual sitting in the seat by the name of spirit. And there are certain doctrines out there that talk about the fact that I am a spirit. I have a soul, and I live in a physical body. Well, when you begin to look at what Yeshua said, and we begin to go back, which is where we're going to go, into the Old Testament, and find out how the Father created the first man. And what did the Father conceive him to be at the highest level, perfection, in the manner in which he created him? Now, I'm not talking about fallen man. I'm talking about the highest level of creation. When the Creator created the first man, how was he understood to be? And the best passage of Scripture that will definitely correlate and confirm and validate what that first man was is in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. So if Evangelist Anita can go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 in the King James.
Yes, sir, I'm
and
ready.
One of the things that, okay. And one of the things that I that just totally perplexes me at times is how the further we go away from the passages of Scripture, these versions that are starting to come out now, they're very alarming, they're very perplexing, because they change the concept of that word, even in the Hebrew, so that it would reflect in the English a living being and not what it is actually spoken in the original language. Because in the original language, they use that term or that word that was spoken of, nephesh. And that nephesh, you're going to find, actually in the English, the very best word in the English, you're going to find as Evangelist reads right now, what it actually means. Go ahead, Evangelist Tania, if you would, please.
Yes, sir. Genesis 2:7, King James Version. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul.
Became a living soul, a living kai nefesh. Okay? That's what the original says. Now, the problem that we have, and I know some of you are saying, now, wait a minute, Rabbi, don't you know that there's a lot of charismatic individuals that have gone to certain institutions and have heard from a certain individual, and, you know, he teaches against what you're saying. He teaches that we are spirit, that we have a soul. Like, I have a dog, live in a physical body. Well, that might be the case, because I'm familiar with that as well, just to be honest. But I want you to understand that the doctrines of man will never stand against the doctrines of God. They will never stand against the doctrines of God. And the doctrines of God are found in his word. If I tell you something, but the word says something totally diopposing to what I said, then one of us is right and the other one is wrong. Now, if I become more popular in what I say and I begin to sway many individuals to believe what I say. But what I say is diaposing to what the Word of God says. This is not a popularity contest. This is a relational contest. And I've got to be in right relationship, okay, with Yah, with the Father. And His relationship, okay, with me is based upon the truth, His Word. I hope this is beginning to make sense to us, because scriptures talk about the fact in, I believe it's John chapter 8 and verse 32. John chapter 8 and verse 32. There's a passage there that is very important, and it is very applicable to what we're talking about here. And please understand, yes, we're going to answer the question, but we've got to get this foundational truth down. We've got to get it understood. It's got to be truth in us.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it's not truth in us, the Word will not work for us.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not speaking the truth in love,
mm-hmm.
then the manifestation of God's peace will never completely come to me in the manner which God had intended. John chapter 8, verse 32, King James. And Evangeline, if you could also read that in the Amplified, okay? So we're talking John chapter 8, verse 32, King James. Could you go ahead and read that for us, please?
Okay. Yes. John chapter 2, verse 8, in the King James Version reads, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then the Amplified reads, "And you will know the truth regarding salvation, and the truth will set you free from the penalty of sin."
The truth will set you free from the what?
Penalty of sin.
Okay. So if I don't have the truth, but I'm popular, I'm well known, many individuals follow my teachings, but I don't have the truth pertaining to this one aspect of the soul, then my soul will never be able to answer the question that was posed at the beginning of this drasha. Do you see that?
Yes, sir.
Because I'll never be able to obtain the peace that passes all understanding, the peace that Yeshua had. I won't be able to obtain it. It won't be mine because there's a flaw in my doctrine in that area, in the very area where you and I have a flaw in our belief system, is the very area where we will not receive the fullness of what we're believing God for.
Mm-hmm.
God's truth is absolute. So that means that if I have 98% truth pertaining to a certain aspect, that 2% is going to cause me to miss the mark. Mm-hmm. It's going to cause me not to achieve what I am believing God to want to receive and achieve. I'm hoping that this is beginning to resonate. It needs to resonate before we go forward. Now, because of the sake of time, I'm going to move forward from this particular subject into answering the question. But you need to make sure that your doctrinal beliefs are true according to the Word of God. You need to make sure that they're in line with what the Father says must happen to have a more pure relationship so that we can have that peace and we can appropriate that peace in times of need. And not just for ourselves. Yes, for ourselves first. For our micro, yes. But also so that when we are going about our day and we we run into a situation where someone else needs that peace, the Father can use us as an instrument to begin to appropriate that peace when he deems it's necessary. The Father can use us as an instrument to flow and to allow other individuals to know that God is still on the throne. He's still in control. He's still in charge. He's still sovereign. And he still wants you to know that he loves you. I hope that's resonating with you. I hope that's touching areas in your life that need to be tweaked. Areas in my life pertaining to doctrines that I believe that are not true. Doing that very thing. Now, let's get back to answering the question. Okay? That particular question, Evangelist Tamita, if you could restate the question for us, just so that everybody is on the same page.
Yes, how do I know when the soul is abiding in his peace?
So how do I know when my soul is abiding in his peace? Well, we go back to our reference scripture again. Now that we understand that the you there in John chapter 15, verse 7, that you is my and your soul. Correct?
Yes.
Okay. So if that you is my and your soul, then that means my mind, my will, and my emotions have to be in line in order for my complete soul to abide in him. Hopefully that is beginning to resonate just a little bit. Okay? So let me walk through this. Play out a scenario so that I understand. Okay? We used Daniel in Daniel chapter 6. We used Daniel pertaining to him being thrown into the lion's den before. Now, that was a test that he passed, and we understand he passed, you know, with excellence because he had the spirit of excellence on him. It's him to have this spirit of excellence. Well, what caused him to have this spirit of excellence is found in another New Testament scripture. So we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. And we're going to read verse 13 and 14 of Hebrews chapter 5. Because in Hebrews chapter 5, and I personally believe this, it's just my opinion, I personally believe the writer of this was Paul. Okay? But Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13 and 14, talk about how a person can mature to the level of the spirit of excellence, all right, that Daniel had achieved, So Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13 and 14, Evangelist Janita, if you have that, if you'll go ahead and read that.
Yes, which version are you looking for, Rabbi John?
Let's go with the King James first. And then we can go ahead and do the Amplified, just to expound on it a little bit more.
Okay, Hebrews chapter 5.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Starting at verse 13. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of youth have their senses exercised to discern good and evil.
Even by reason of what?
By reason of use of their senses.
Okay. Now, my senses, we've got more than five, but our conscious senses are five senses. So that means that the word of God, okay, when it comes to me, then it's the adversary's job, and he does his job very well, unfortunately, It's the adversary's job to begin to tempt all five of my senses. He's going to use all five of my senses, or try to anyway, to use them against me, for me to fail God, for me not to abide in the Word. Now, some of you are probably way ahead of me already, so I'm going to try to catch up to where you are, all right? Because one of the prime examples that just, you know, shout at this moment to be recognized is the Garden of Eden, Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 8, pertaining to the whole scenario with Eve, the serpent, and Adam, who was right there with her. Okay? We know that the serpent tempted her with what? Her emotions. Her feelings. The same thing that is talked about in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. This is one of those areas that if you're taking notes, you should say, okay, so bullet point, my senses are going to be tempted until I have them under control. If my senses are not under control, I am not, I repeat, I am not abiding in the Word. The disciples, they saw, they felt, they probably even smelt the storm that was happening as they were commanded to go across to go across the Sea of Galilee. Satan was tempting their senses. And in doing so, they were losing faith. Because remember, if you go back and read Mark chapter 4, probably starting in verse 24, and begin to read up, you'll read that Yeshua began through parables to explain and expound the keys of the kingdom. And whereas with the audience, the large audience that he had, he expounded only with parables. But with his disciples, the passages of Scripture say, he explained everything in detail, as much as they could understand. So he was feeding them faith. And whenever we get fed faith, remember this, whenever we get fed faith, if not so that we can get excited and shout and just say hallelujah and give exploits to the Lord and all of that, yes, that's a part of it. But the main part of faith is to get ready for a trial, to get ready for a test, get ready for a temptation. Okay? Because faith is what you are, is the fuel that you and I are supposed to use in order to win the battle. But this right here lets you know that a part of winning the battle is your senses has to be disciplined. The lack of discipline in your senses will cause you to lose the battle. When I was in the military in basic training, they dealt with all of my senses in order for me to begin to become a disciplined soldier. Well, in the spiritual realm, we must learn to be disciplined soldiers. If we are not disciplined soldiers, then you have just found an individual that is not abiding and will not be able to appropriate the peace of God. It will not happen in that particular scenario. Because the moment that a victory is about to be won, the adversary knows that that individual is still a novice in certain areas of their spiritual walk. And that button will get pushed. Because the adversary is not going to lose ground without a fight. And he's going to fight to win. Against me, against you, against us. Hopefully this is beginning to make sense, Evangeline Tanita. Give me some feedback on what you're experiencing, what you're understanding thus far about what we've talked about. Evangeline Tanita, go ahead.
So there, what I get is that there's a constant dying that has to take place. And it's interesting because sometimes you can be experiencing things over a period of time where initially when it started, it didn't get to you. But because of the consistency of that pressure, you may have become weak in your response. And so, like you're saying, in our emotions, in our senses, which is our feelings, our emotions, or our thoughts, what we see, what we hear, what we're tasting, if it's not dead, and when I say that, if we're not dying constantly, the enemy can use that to cause you to falter and fail in what you're called to do with Yah. And in order for our soul to be whole, it's not just our mind, our will, and emotions, but like you said, our senses have to be intact also so that we won't falter, so that the enemy can't cause us to miss out on the victories. As soon as the victories come, he wants to come with a situation to cause you not to dwell on what Yah is doing, but to look at the negative, to keep you down, to suppress you. That's what I get out of it.
Excellent. That is excellent. As a matter of fact, another analogy that kind of fits exactly what you just shared, and something that I shared with a friend of mine, is when I was in the military, one of the first things that I'd heard, and I didn't really understand it at first, but they helped me to understand, and that was they said, it doesn't rain in the military. It only rains on the military. And when I heard that, I'm like, okay. My drill sergeant began to explain with the different tasks that he had us do, regardless of what the weather dished out at that particular day, we were going to do those tasks. The weather just made it that much more difficult to do them, but we were still going to do them. And it began to dawn on me, and I began to understand, this man is serious. You know, we're going to do these tasks in all of these weathers, all of the storms, the rain, mm-hmm. the sleet, snow, everything, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And what I began to realize is he purposely wanted us to do it during those times, not during the times that were sunny. Not during the times that, you know, the wind was just blowing just right, you know. You know? No. He wanted to wait for the inclement weather and then had us do it.
Amen.
And I began to realize that, you know, we don't, in battle, we don't pick the temperature. We don't make an agreement with our enemy and say, hey, look, we're gonna have war as long as it's sunny, but then when it's rainy, everybody's gonna go home, you know, get a cup of tea, you know, some hot chocolate, and just gonna sip and, you know, watch old, you know, reruns. But then the moment that the weather starts again, we're gonna start the battle all over again. No, that's not how it works. If anything, it works in reverse. Because the enemy knows that most individuals will find their comfort zone and they'll run to their comfort zone
mm-hmm.
when the battle is raging and when the weather is at its worst. Mm-hmm. So in recapping, and in concluding here, one of the most important things that we've got to understand is that we're going to be tested, but more importantly, we're going to be tested with those five senses. And like Vanish Tanita said, the enemy is going to try to wear us down. It might be something that you can handle now, but 2 days from now, a week from now, a month from now, that self-same gnawing at you, if you are not battle-ready, will be your downfall. Father, right now, in the name of Yahushua, we give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you glory. We ask forgiveness for any sin, iniquity, and transgression that we have done. And we ask forgiveness to the third and fourth generation, as it states in your word. We ask forgiveness for our forefathers on both sides of our family as well. And Father, we thank you for the new mercies. We thank you, Father God, for the thousand generations of new mercies that have the ability now to come into our life. Father, help us to understand and to apply this word in our daily walk so that we can always be the seasoned soldiers that you're looking for, so that we can always be the individuals that are walking with that spirit of excellence. For the example that you gave pertaining to Daniel. Let us always use the word and use the word and use the word to apply to areas in our five senses and our emotions to get them in check so that regardless of what comes and regardless when it comes, we can say like they say in the military, it doesn't ever rain. Whether it's problems, whether it's circumstances that are raining upon you today, it doesn't rain in an individual. It only tries to rain upon them. And Father, we appropriate your word right now. Show us. Give us an understanding of areas where our senses have not been seared, have not been put into a place of discipline, so that we can appropriate the peace that passes all understanding in the same manner and in the same way that Yeshua did. In Yahushua's name we pray. Amen and amen. Now at this time, Evangelist Tanita, we're going to have the After Torah blessing by Pastor Doug. Now remember those two words, Baruch Atah. Now God wants to do it for you, because now He is blessed and honored and glorified in your life. You are the victor because He is victorious, and because you are learning to abide in Him. I am learning to abide in Him. Amen. Amen. So, Evangelist Tanita, if you would, if you'd go ahead and play that for us. Thank you.
After Torah study, después del estudio de la Torah, Baruch atah Yahuwah Eloheinu melech haolam, asher natan lanu toret emet, v'chaye olam nata bechoktanu, Baruch atah Yahuwah Noten HaTorah. Blessed are you, Yahuwah, our Yah, King of the universe, who gave us the Torah of truth and set everlasting life in our midst. Blessed are you, Yahuwah, giver of the Torah. Eres bendecido, Yahuwah nuestro Dios, Rey el universo, nos has dado la Torah de la verdad y poner vida eterna en medio de nosotros. Se bendiga, Yahuwah del Hur, de la Torah.
Amen and amen and amen. So, Advantage Sunya, at this time, could you give us a little bit more information about us and about how individuals could can not only support our ministry, but also get involved in some of the more in-depth academic learning that we have available?
Yes, sir. I hope you can hear me. I've had to switch to my speakerphone, and my apologies for any lag. Our ministry, you can reach any information about our ministry. The first website I want to give you is www.bethesham.org. That is BETHASHAM.org. Site would be www.facebook.com/Bethesham Ministries. For those that are interested in a more Hebraic understanding as a New Testament believer, if you will email us at office@bethesham.org, we plan to begin our classes this year, our new session, April 30th, 2020. Also, for those that are interested in joining or receiving more information about us, we have a newsletter that comes out that we provide on Mondays, Wednesdays, as well as Saturdays. You can go to our website, which is www.bethesham.org. And one of the things that I want to discuss today is that in our online today, what you'll notice in our order of services is that what we just did now, our adult Torah study, we have our tithe and offering message, which is done by Minister Steve, as well as in Spanish and Portuguese. We have our children's church materials that's provided, our Hebrew immersion studies, and any previous archives of messages that you would like to listen to. For those that desire to give, if you click on our page, our tithes and offering, you can give through the Cash mobile app. You can use the Cash app for free. And the link that you'll need to put in is https://cash.app/$B for Beth, H for Ha, and then S for Shem. For U.S. mail, please mail your checks to Congregation Bethesham, and that's 2211 Shaw Road, Durham, North Carolina, 27704. Also, you can utilize bank online bill pay feature, and what you'll enter in is 2211 Shaw Road, Durham, North Carolina. And I'll hand the show back over to you, Rabbi Gunn.
Amen. And pray that the blessings of Yah be with you and that you fulfill every aspect this day of what the Father has desired of you, that he begins to share it and show it with you so that you will know and you will not be in the unknown aspect of just rambling around helplessly and aimlessly without purpose, without his plan for your life, and without fulfilling every aspect in relationship with him. That is my prayer for you this day. In Yahushua's name we pray. Amen. Until next time, shalom, shalom.